Okay, and we are back. This is Heritage Radio Network on tour. We are broadcasting live from the growing hotter Denver. I'm Hannah Forden, and we are going to resume our chat by talking with Paolo Di Croce, who is joining us from Slow Food International and from Terra Madre, and we're really excited to speak with him. Before we do that, we just have to thank our generous friends who made our coverage possible. That is Hearst Ranch, the Julia Child Foundation, and Julia Schaefer. So Paolo has been involved in Slow Food for a long time. You were instrumental in coordinating projects like the Arc of Taste and Presidia. In 2003 to 2006, Paolo served as the General Secretary of the Slow Food Foundation for Biodiversity. And in 2004, Paolo served as the President of the Committee for Terra Madre. Since 2005, Paolo is the Secretary General for the Terra Madre Foundation and serves as International Secretary for the Slow Food International Board of Directors, which is the highest governing body of the slow food movement. So we're really excited to talk with you, Paolo. And I guess to start, I want to talk about kind of a newer project for Slow Food. Can you tell us a little bit about Terra Madre?
Yeah, Terra Madre is maybe one of our most important component of our network. It was created now many years ago in 2004 and was created to build a big network, global network of food communities. Mm-hmm. People involved in sustainable food production or as we say internally, good, clean and fair food production. So we started to build a network of farmers, fishers, cheesemakers, chef, whoever was involved in a sustainable production, and we thought that was very important to create occasions to meet mm-hmm. between them, to create platforms, to exchange ideas, to share opportunities, also to share problems and to try to find a solution to these problems. It's been very successful, and now after 14 years, unfortunately, we can say that it's become one of the biggest global network of small-scale farmers that has a lot of activities. We are in 150 countries, so we really represent a very strong global presence. And every 2 years, there is a big gathering, a global gathering, when these representatives from all these countries, some of the representatives, of course, they gather in Italy, Northwest, in Torino, to have an event that is called Terra Madre, and that it's a 5 days event that, in a way, it's not too different from Slow Food Nations. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit bigger.
Oh, wow.
No, it's much bigger, of course. You know, we have like more than 5,000 delegates, and last year that was open space, we had 1 million visitors in 5 days. That for a city like Torino and for Italy is quite a big number.
That's fantastic. And you mentioned, and this has been coming up for us all weekend with our other interviews, how important relationships and community are to changing our food system. And that is obviously a huge value for Slow Food. But for farmers right now, that seems like the most important resource is being able to connect with other farmers, to share resources, share information, ask for help. And I would love to hear kind of how you see that tying into what Slow Food does, and this weekend we're building community.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, and what we learned in so many years of job in Slow Food is that even if, of course, every country is different and every region is different, farmers and food producers, they are facing all the same problems almost everywhere in the mm-hmm. in the world. Of course, with different cultural, financial implications, but the problems are always the same. And one of the big issues, big weaknesses that we have in the farm production is that too often, especially small-scale farmers, they are alone. They are alone and they have to compete with the market, with big corporations, and it's very, very difficult. So one of the challenges for small-scale farmers is to unite forces at local level, at regional level, at state level, at global level, because united, small-scale farmers can have a lot of solutions more to be on the market and to really be able to communicate why they are different from corporations. And Slow Food Nations is one of the key reasons is to have farmers meeting between themselves. Yesterday we had a full day leaders meeting with more than 300 people coming from all over the country to discuss about future activities and future projects. And here and then there is the other component that is very important, to have farmers and producers meeting people, mm-hmm. meeting consumers, meeting whoever is coming to try to understand and to learn and to eat, of course, but it's of more course. Important the learning experience and hopefully enjoying all the food that they eat, but learning something.
Absolutely, and it's a great opportunity, yeah, to put faces to the people who are making your food, who are advocating for your food. So for this amazing weekend we have, what events, what speakers are you the most excited for, or things you can reflect on from yesterday? I know we had a lot of panel discussions and smaller sessions. So what have been the highlights? What are you looking forward to?
I mean, there are many. The program is very interesting, and I think that it's always very difficult to choose one between so many opportunities. Clearly, what I'm happy about, and this is a very important development for Slow Food USA in this country, is that there is a big attention on a lot of components related to social justice, to equity, to inclusion, to a lot of activities that are very important and that we have never to forget when we talk about everything, but also about food. We have never to forget that diversity in food is a value, and that cultural diversity is a value. So I'm very happy that there are many panels discussing this, and also that Slow Food USA developed a very important manifesto on equity inclusion, and that is part of the discussion of these days. So I would not choose one, but I choose a topic, and also the discussion we had yesterday, and also I had to participate to a panel about the future of food and how we can really reshape and rethink about a different model, more sustainable model. It's always very interesting.
Yeah, the panel yesterday was fantastic. And just to go back in time a little bit, I know you were instrumental in coming up with the Arc of Taste, which is one of the most important and I think well-known components of Slow Food. But if there are listeners who are out there who aren't familiar, can you give us a little summary about what that is, what it means?
Yeah, the starting point is that due to the current food system, but that basically is the food system that has run the world in the last 70 years, one of the bad consequences, there are many bad consequences, but one of the bad is that we are losing our food diversity. We are losing, we have lost a lot of crops, we have lost animal breeds, we have lost vegetable varieties, and up to 20 years ago, the general trend in marketing, they were explaining to everyone that the only solution for the future was like the McDonald's style, the fast food style, eating the same food everywhere. And still today, I mean, 90% of the apples that are eaten worldwide are coming only from 5 different varieties, and we have thousands and thousands varieties of apples, and for Slow Food it's very important to promote, as we promote the cultural diversity, is the food diversity. So we choose the metaphor of the arc to create a catalog to identify products that in a way are at risk of extinction. Mm-hmm. And so we have now more than 5,000 of this product in 140 countries of the world. There is this catalog where we identify this product with a strong connection with identity, with the territory, with the history, and with the culture of the place from where they are produced. We create the catalog and we try to find activities and projects and programs to promote this food, to fight against the disappearance of this food and fight against the homologation and homogenization of the food.
And I'm curious, you know, we're submerged in the food issues here in the U.S. and we have a very specific collection of things that we need to work on and things that we are proud of making changes. And I'm curious what are things like in Italy right now? Are you struggling with some of the same issues in terms of biodiversity and also human diversity? Or are there other struggles that are specific to that?
It's very similar. It's again very similar because talking about the food issues and topics that we have to discuss are very similar again all over the world. Mm-hmm. Of course, with different consequences. Even if the big paradox of the food system that means that we have like 800 million people who are starving who are not regular access to food, and we have more than 1.5 billion people suffering of healthy problems due to the fact that we eat too much and we eat bad. It's something that is affecting everyone, and not everyone, but all the countries. And one of the tragedies is that also in the global south countries, in the developing countries, obesity and all these kind of illness are becoming natural for the bad food, bad quality. So we are fighting, we have to fight with this, and it's the same in Italy, it's the same in Europe, it's the same here. So I really think that it's related to what we were saying before. We have to unite forces. Mm-hmm. And the solution, they can only be global. If you think to the big competitor, they are getting more and more global. If you think to what happened recently with the merger between Monsanto and Bayer, two giants that they own, I don't know, 60%, around 60% of the seeds globally. The solution, they can only be global. So we have to unite in these battles, the US citizens, the North America, Europe, Africa, Latin America, everyone who believes that a different world is possible.
Yeah. And I know you just arrived from Italy yesterday, right? So I always love to hear what your best bite, what the most delicious thing you've eaten so far since you've landed here in Denver, the highlight.
This is, again,
hard question.
The hard question, because you want me to choose.
We could do top three, top two.
Top three, top two. You know, it's always difficult. Yes. It's like when they ask me which is your favorite dish in the world, I cannot respond. It's not fair. It's not fair to respond. What they want I think that what is important is to highlight, like, for example, what happened yesterday evening here, mm-hmm. with the Big Eat, I think was the name, where there was a very nice representation of real food and tasty food. I think that this is the most important message that I think that this kind of events, it's one of the most important messages that this kind of events have to deliver. That the U.S. is a country with a lot of good food.
Yes.
Because, you know, in the global perception, in the global image, in this country it's McDonald's, this country is fast food, this country is this kind of thing. And it's not true. No, yeah. It's true. Unfortunately,
but
it's also
there's
true,
more.
But there is much more, yeah. And then there is much more everywhere. And it's something that I learned. I've been in this country many, many times in my life, in many different places. And every time I have a chance to discover something that I didn't know, and that, you know, it's something tasty. And if I have to make an example, yesterday we tried an hamburger that is a symbol of bad food, it's a symbol of junk food, symbol of everything bad in the history. It was good, it was tasty. It's simple.
Yeah.
You know, it's enough to have good bread and good meat, and why not having a good hamburger, eating meat twice a day, good meat, it's great. So I think that we have to deliver this message. Good food is everywhere. And chefs are everywhere, producers are everywhere. We have to create connections between them and people who want to eat good food.
Excellent. I love it. And I think that sets a really good tone for the rest of the weekend. We're all here to learn and taste and challenge ourselves. So yeah. I really appreciate you coming and sitting down with us, Paolo Di Croce. And we are going to take a quick break before we come back to our next guest, which is going to be Carrie Balcom. So again, thank you so much, Paolo, and thank you so much to our sponsors, Julia Child Foundation, Hearst Ranch, and Julie Schaefer. And we will be back shortly.
Thank you.